like an armadillo covered with steel plates. That's the way New York Times photographer Brian Denton described the ISIS car bomb that lumbered toward the Iraqi troops he was embedded with on October 20th, part of the push towards Mosul. This was the fourth Mad Max-like car bomb they'd encountered in what sounds like a terrible real-life video game in the desert. Brian writes, someone shouted, car bomb. He ran for cover, but it was too late. He and some of the Iraqis were hit. Brian in the wrist, and he's a photographer, but he was lucky. An inch either way, he would have lost his hand. The Iraqis were also lucky, their wounds not life-threatening. There's a link to Brian's powerful story and pictures at hereandnow.org as we welcome him on Skype from his home in Beirut, Lebanon. And Brian, you were traveling with elite Iraqi counterterrorism forces from the Kurdish capital, Erbil, heading towards Mosul, the goal to clear a town of ISIS fighters. You were in one of the armored Humvees. Start there.
We had gotten in the vehicle when it was midway in the column, and then it quickly, within an hour, sort of worked its way up to the front. And by the time we understood where we were, it was, you know, it was too dangerous to get outside and try to find another car or, you know, or walk back to the lines. So we were sort of stuck with the shelter that we had, essentially.
Such as it was. I mean, it's the descriptions are incredible. You're lumbering along, and the entire time you're being shot at. The windows are cracking, and these huge, thick-plated Humvees, because you're being shot at by snipers. There's mortar fire coming in. The commander, an Iraqi, is pointing out, and this is such a chilling line, fleeting shadows of Islamic fighters moving among points of concealment. It just feels like this terrible real life video game.
Yeah, it was. I think what was the most surreal about it is that, I mean, it's as a photographer when you're working, you know, when you're covering the front lines, I try to be as efficient as I can about the way that I work, and I usually try to calculate my risks. Am I going to get a lot of good, interesting journalism out of this if I'm going to be taking this risk? And frankly, like sitting in the back of an MRAP all day wasn't exactly what I had hoped, you know, before I got wounded and before the day, you know, had really started. I was thinking, wow, this is actually not that useful journalistically because I'm just sitting here.
Well, I have to disagree.
In the back of a truck.
Well, I have to disagree with you, Brian, because hearing this description of what it's like just to move towards a town, you know, your tire is shot out. So now, if you were limping before, you're really kind of thud. You know, you can even almost hear this flat tire as this convoy is limping along again, fired on the whole time, and then you paint descriptions of these car bombs that come at you. Again, all I can think of is Mad Max. There's one, it's got steel plates painted this dull green and coyote brown. It's careening clumsily into a field where it hits a ditch and flips over and lays there like a turtle on its back, as you describe it. This is a car bomb.
Absolutely, no, and they're very clever about how they stage them. They stage them at points where they know that they don't have a very long run to get to the convoy, because the longer that they're exposed, the more likely it is that they're going to be hit by an airstrike that's called in. Usually, every time one appeared, there was maybe a 15 to 25 second window that you had before it was upon you.
Yeah.
It was incredibly, incredibly nerve-wracking, and because, you know, you just didn't know what was coming around the next corner, essentially.
No. That was the flip turtle is the first car bomb. The second one's a pickup that comes out from between buildings. Again, it's stacked with painted makeshift armor. It gets picked off by the Iraqi tank that's accompanying you. I mean, there's four total. It's just incredible. But then there's also the trenches that ISIS has dug. And so you've got bulldozers that are traveling with you trying to either fill in a trench or dig a trench. It's incredibly hard business just traveling.
It is, absolutely. And, you know, I think one of the most dangerous jobs probably, you know, in the Iraqi forces that are pushing, you know, along their lines of advance is probably the bulldozer driver, because essentially you have no means of defending yourself. I've come to admire the courage of the bulldozer drivers probably more than anybody on the battlefield.
Right. The ordnance removal technicians, you know, coordinating with the bulldozer. Here's one sentence. They had just cleared four big IEDs, and you were waiting for them to clear those while Islamic State fighters were shooting at the convoy as it moved along. Look, a couple questions. What do you think your experience says about this effort in general? It's just stunning to see how hard it is just to move towards a confrontation with someone. This is just the travel. This isn't even trying to take the village.
These battles are, you know, are incredibly difficult to fight tactically, especially once you get into the city. You know, if ISIS decides that they want to make a really, you know, hard stand inside the city, and it, you know, we could see this stretch into, you know, into December and even into January or beyond.
Well, you, of course, had your point of view of the flipped turtle, but so did ISIS, and they actually released video that they took. We'll post it at herenow.org. But let's listen to a little of it. We'll let it play under. What are we seeing here from the ISIS point of view? This is just before the first car bomb. Have you seen it, Brian?
I have seen it, yes. I mean, it's essentially it's sort of video from a distance of a convoy moving through the desert. And it was pretty surreal for me to watch because I'm actually in the sort of right. tan MRAP in that video.
Yeah.
And so sort of it's sort of strange to find yourself, like, you know, being able to place yourself within one of their propaganda videos, because for somebody like me, that usually means you're having your head cut off.
Oh, please. Well, you know, I have to ask you about that. I have to ask you about that, because that this is very dangerous work, as you well know. And it's sort of gallows humor there, I know, because photographer Tim Hetherington was lost in Libya. Tyler, your colleague at the Times, was kidnapped. Tyler Hicks, taken hostage for a while. Your thoughts on the danger here?
I mean, for me, I've never thought of myself as a war photographer. For me, you know, my passion in my career has been covering the Middle East and especially focusing on this sort of pivotal moment that we've found ourselves in historically, you know, in the aftermath of the Arab Spring and all of the, you know, changes that are taking place. And so a lot of my coverage has centered on stuff happening behind the front lines and how these societies are changing. But I also believe that it is important at times to take calculated risks and to show people at home what war is actually like, especially in this day and age when the U.S. is, you know, sort of peripherally involved, you know, in these conflicts, and, you know, the U.S. population doesn't necessarily have a whole lot of access to, you know, the extent of our involvement. So I think it's really important to be able to, you know, shine a light on that in some ways. You know, what happened to Tim Hetherington, to Chris Hondros, who was also a friend in Libya, and, you know, Tyler and Lindsay being captured and taken and held while they were there. Additionally, you know, I was close friends with Peter Kasig, who was, you know, held hostage by ISIS and ultimately murdered.
Right.
You know, these things have all weighed heavily on me. And so I'm not one to linger at the front lines. You know, I try to be efficient in my reporting there and leave as soon as I have enough. You know, I also think that there's not that much information that you can glean from somebody, you know, from a picture of somebody firing a weapon. Hmm. I think that those pictures can be important, but I also think that it's important to be just behind the front lines. You know, I was actually, it was a bit of a mixed set of emotions for me. You know, on the one hand, I'm happy to be, you know, all right and to be home with my family. But at the same time, I wish I was still there covering it, because my plan had been to spend maybe a day or two covering sort of the frontline operations. But then I had really wanted to, you know, sort of shift into, you know, coverage of what's happening with the internally displaced from Mosul. What's happening, you know, what do these towns look like that have been recaptured? Like, what is, you know, what did ISIS leave behind? Like, what can we understand from what they left behind about who they were and or who they are and what they want and how they were living? I'm a little bit not regretful, but I wish I'd been able to sort of stay and cover some of that as well.
Go beyond the bang bang.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, photographer Brian Denton will link you to his terrific story and pictures and the ISIS video at hereandnow.org. Brian, thank you so much.
You're welcome.